Many ages ago, a man bearing that mark united the scattered tribes of the Southlands under one banner, the very banner that might unite them again today against the evil that now seeks to claim their lands, your lands, Halbrand. Your people have no king, for you are him.
What were your thoughts when you initially heard that? Were you like, so you were a Halbrand of Sauron, like, day oneer?
Sure.
So did you think like, oh, this is all part of his master plan? Or were you like, oh, maybe I was wrong?
Yeah, there was plenty of healthy skepticism on whether or not it was him. Like, I was on the ride. You know, watching it now, I'm like, Galadriel, how are you making these gigantic leaps of logic?
It's crazy.
Like, she's doing Olympic level Russian, I've been training since 3-year-old floor routines to get to the fact that she's calling him the king.
These are little Chinese gymnasts with their baby teeth still in, kind of like triple front backflips. Yeah.
Jesus. But all that is to say is like,
but they won the gold.
And their family can continue living.
Right.
they might be allowed to have another child. The thing, though, I'm not trying to make light of a very serious communistic issue that China's going through, but the thing, like, looking at this, that thing that we just opened the podcast with is a really good example of her, like, blinded by her. I'm reading Dune right now, so I can't get rid of this word. Like, her jihad, essentially. Like, this is her plan. And so she's just putting, she couldn't know how right she is that he is the king, but how wrong she is.
She's not wrong. He is the king of the Southlands.
He literally is. So it's.
For me, this is Rings of Power with Ben and Jess. Welcome to the podcast,
no,
everybody.
No, it's not Rings of Power. This is Podcast of the Rings, watching Rings of Power.
So that's why I don't do the intros.
Sorry.
But
where there's a whip, Ben.
Knowing where we end up, like when she discovers, you know, the truth about Halbrand, you know, the rings and stuff like that. There isn't like, or at least we haven't gotten it yet. We didn't get it in season one. And I was talking about that while I was playing video games last night, where shows nowadays, it's really strange that there's not a single season narrative for a lot of shows. A lot of shows, like the first season is almost like a prologue. And it's really strange and really off-putting. That, yes, I know there's going to be an overarching narrative. Like, they bought this show they bought the rights for 5 seasons. We are getting 5 seasons come hell or high water. Unless, you know, Jeff Bezos gets, like, super bored on his yacht. And is like, more models and cocaine. No more Rings of Power.
I love that you put your hands through your hair. That's something he can't do.
He can't do. That's why his biceps are so huge, so he can't like touch his head anymore.
Are they huge? That actually
he's
is
so
buff.
Like he's
that's
legitimately
worse.
He's legitimately Lex Luthor. Like it's crazy. But like what is it called? Jupiter's Legacy. There was this show on Netflix. It was a superhero show called Jupiter's Legacy. It was with Leslie Bibb and Josh Duhamel. We're like kind of the two big stars. It wasn't very good. I watched it for a project, and it was 8 episodes long. And in all 8 episodes, it was like present day, they're superheroes. And then during the Great Depression, Josh Duhamel is like a rich guy who loses his business and everything. And then he gets these mysterious signs and has to go on this journey. And everyone thinks he's crazy. And it leads to, you know, this pocket dimension where they get their powers from Jupiter or something.
I'm really following.
And that's the thing is that what they should have done is that one episode was the flashback episode where they get their powers. Not all 8 episodes. You're going back and forth in time. And at the end of the 8 episodes, I guess I won't spoil it for the people that want to watch this one season that didn't get renewed because it's not a good show. they reveal the actual big villain and they're like, okay, now it's time to go. I'm like, what? 8 hours later, now you're going to start the show? Like, and that's how I feel about this is that, yes, the Hal Brand reveal is big, but there's no, like, recompense of, like, Galadriel saying, ah, oh, I was blinded by revenge and this and that. It's just like, okay, now we've got Sauron. Now we're going to start the show. It's like, what?
Yeah. I think to that point, and probably what will happen in season two, is her journey of accepting the fact that she sparked life back into her mortal enemy. You know what I mean? Like, that's her emotional arc for season two. But that begs the question, do we care? Like, is that something we want to watch her go through?
Are we gonna go from brooding revenge Galadriel to brooding depressed because I brought about the second apocalypse Galadriel? Like, and honestly, it feels like that's the arc there. Yeah, it's like we're gonna get the same kind of mood and everything like that. And that's the problem with, you know, being around elves is that they're not very, like, enthusiastic. They don't, like, show happiness, you know, when Aragorn...
You mean like her riding on the beach and smiling?
Oh, my... Jessica, we did the watch-along. Subscribe to the Patreon, guys, for my IRL reaction of that. I had forgotten about that. I don't know if I had, like, looked at my phone or something during this moment or what, but this moment had been...
You missed all the memes?
I did. I missed all of this. It's Morfydd Clark is a gorgeous, amazing actor.
No one's saying that this, she isn't.
This moment does her no favors. I don't know who saw this because the rest of the shot, them riding on the beach, her gown flowing in the wind, gorgeous, beautiful filmmaking. And then they show her smile. Because, and even like narratively, it makes no sense because she goes from about to kill Elendil. Like, Elendil, literally about to kill him. Like, she's like, he's like joking with her, like, I don't know, maybe this little tugboat, you know, this little rowboat won't make it over the sea. She's like, well, I'm going to slit your throat if you get in my way.
And she's like, ride. Immediately after
goes from, like, the Brendan Fraser in George of the Jungle, like 90s slow-mo with horses. Like, it was wild. It was such a wild transition.
So this is what happens, I think, when you're too close to a project and too close to your actors. Because if you are just looking at Morfydd Clark, you know she's beautiful, and that smile is beautiful because nothing is more beautiful than someone experiencing true joy. And yeah, Morfydd is giving us that. But if you're JD and the other showrunner, you just like Morfydd. And so you're like, you know what? This is a beautiful shot of her. It's not of Galadriel.
No.
It's all types of wrong. Because, sure, it does her no favors. It does her no favors as Galadriel, though. If we're just watching her in a different movie as that shot, no one's going, you know, whatever. It's narrowistically, as you said,
narratively.
Narratively incorrect. And I don't know that is this the time you show us Galadriel smiling?
See, when I remember you bringing this up, and I honestly thought, you had meant during the charge of the Numenoreans. I was like, that would make sense, where she's back in Middle Earth. She's there to fight. She's got an army with her that she's wanted the whole time. She's got people that believe in her, or at least in this cause that they are fighting.
Right.
Like the evilness in the Southlands. And, you know, the Numenoreans have returned to Middle Earth, something that has not happened in generations. And so I always thought it was that moment. I didn't think it was, because that would make sense. Maybe, you know, she does, gotcha, like a little wry elvish smile, which is, you know, when you see Legolas smile at Gimli, like when he says, like, or should I find you a box? Like, that's huge. That is huge. I don't know. I'd have to, like, rewatch it. But it's like, I don't think we'd seen Legolas smile up until that moment.
We don't see his teeth. Yeah.
And then, like, in that same kind of vein, like, when Aragorn hugs Haldir, like, he smiled. Like, you know, elves don't, it seems like they don't hug. So, like, they're not very expressive beings. So, I don't know. I know it's
like
you're
right, though. You're right. Yeah. Like, this is better. I don't know that we want to see her smiling, per se, as she goes off to murder thousands of people. But feeling like she's in her place and in the right, like, let's watch her go through this struggle a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, this episode is not through and throughout bad. It's not. It's not as through and throughout bad as episode 2 was, where really and truly, I don't know that we would have continued watching if the dwarves didn't come in. Yeah. This is, finally we're on Numenor. You know, she asked the dumb questions, are they captors or, you know, saviors?
Saviors or captors. If they were, I guess they could be slavers, they could be slave traders, so it
but
is
she, like,
possible.
Asked that before she eats the food, like it's poisoned or something?
Yeah, like, that was weird. It was like, why would they, if they're, like, bad people, they probably wouldn't have rescued you. If they're slavers, they're not gonna kill you with poison. Yeah. And if they wanted to kill you, they probably have weapons and you don't. They just
and
kill
also,
you.
Halbrand, who saved you, which you kind of probably know, is giving you the food, so do you not trust him? It's just a silly, it's like, it's helpful question, but it's like a little bit dumb in the timing of it. We meet Elendil, who, honest to God, is zaddy. He is so hot.
So hot.
He's so hot.
I had forgotten, but then, like, that conversation between him and Galadriel, you guys can ship Halbrand and Galadriel if you want. It's Elendil and Galadriel for me. Like, that conversation they have is so charged with sexual tension when he's, like, just, she is a powerful, immortal elf goddess, and this sailor is just like, yeah, you're not going to make it. What are you going to do?
It's like, he's got the riz to meet her riz. Like, he's not, because Gimli can't even look at Galadriel. Let's fast forward. Gimli can't look at her.
Yeah. It's like straight like, out of up? Like an airport book talk, like romance novel where, you know, they're going to go out to sea. But, oh, no, there's only one cabin with one bed. It's like
only one life raft.
Yeah, exactly. Some stupid, like something like that. But the actor who plays Elendil is so great. I don't think the same of Isildur. I'm really excited to see what happens with him in season 2. I don't like that, you know, like we're going to be talking about all the spoilers from every episode. But it's just like, I don't like that the whole last thing was like, oh, is he dead or not? Like, we know he's not dead. Like,
yeah.
We know that. Like, there's certain things, you know, in
but
Solo.
People who don't know this don't know that. You know, like people, like my friend Kelly, who has not read the books and only watched the movies, may not remember who Isildur is if she hasn't like, some people don't. We have to give them.
I mean, for me, there's like a difference because, like, you watch, you know, Solo, a Star Wars story, and, you know, there's a lot of very harrowing moments with Han Solo and Chewie, and it's like, yeah, we know they live, but it can still be exciting. It can still be a well-crafted action scene with, like, whoa, that was a close call.
Sure.
But a teaser.
Whoa, that was a close call.
Whoa, yowzers, folks. Tune in next week to Solo. I'm not one. Sorry.
Unlike anybody I've ever done a podcast with, and it's great.
Sponsored by Ovaltine. Drink your Ovaltine, kids. That'll make your bones strong. But like, there's a difference between that and then an entire season-long cliffhanger of, is Isildur dead? Like, that's different. You have to know your audience, because a majority of the audience by episode 10 are big Lord of the Rings fans, because a lot of this show doesn't do its best to hook general audiences, in my opinion. So
I actually just have to offer like a differing opinion. I've heard from several people. Again, this is all anecdotal.
You don't need to.
Okay. So then we get back to the stranger.
Oh, my God. Yeah, go on. Yeah, you're right. This is the kind of podcast I'm going to be part of.
My only offer is that, like, there's a few people that I've talked to who are like, yeah, I don't know anything about the Silmarillion. I've only watched the movies, and I'm totally in. Like, there was the contingency of people who knew a little too much that didn't like that this because they knew so much about the Silmarillion and stuff like that. Where, like, I don't blame people for wanting to call it, like, fan fiction, but it can be excellently done fan fiction. Because it does diverge from, like, what Silmarillion says about some stuff. But I'm just saying narratively, and some of the smartest people I know that I do improv with, that our thing is narrative improv, love this show. So something was, they were doing something right. I think it just didn't work for us who knew a little too much.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not even the Silmarillion. I haven't read the Silmarillion since I think high school. I need to read it again.
Do you?
I'd like to read it again at least.
It's one of those things that, like, I just, no matter, I believe what's his face did an audiobook of it.
Smeagol.
Yeah, I'd listen to that.
Yeah, I'd be down for that for sure. But I don't know. It's just. It's tough because, like, even some of my nerdiest friends who do love Lord of the Rings are just like, this did a lot of this, like, didn't hook me. And it's not about knowing where the story goes, because a lot, you know, there's plenty of people that have read Game of Thrones and were on board for all of that and Dune and everything. But I don't know. But going back to the episode, I like a lot of the Numenorean stuff. This is where the Game of Thrones effect hits a little too hard for me. I like, you know, kind of gritty fantasy. I think that's cool. I like that. I don't know what they could have done different with Numenor, but I don't want to see political intrigue. Like, this is a time of peace, a time of prospering, not of, like, political maneuvering and, you know, the big bearded guy being the little finger of Numenor. Like, I
he was, though, in the Silmarillion. He sowed seeds of dissension, but he was married to the queen.
Oh, okay.
So it's not.
I stand corrected then.
No, I'm not going to be able to fully say this is, but he was the original hater of, or like he stoked the flames of hate towards the elves. There was a lot, like he was not a solid dude.
Yeah.
So some of that's there. Just with what the difference right now is that Farazan isn't married to the queen, so either he like will weasel his way into that situation in the next season or so, or just take over.
So, I do like the first meeting with the queen and Galadriel, because it shows kind of like how one-track minded Galadriel is, that she's not willing to be, not even like politically correct, just like just welcome, just nice. Like, she's just like an asshole the whole time.
Can you blame her though? Because these people have forsaken the elves. She's coming onto hostile territory. I'm just offering that. I'm not saying I'm right.
I think the fact that she doesn't even like thank them for rescuing her.
No, yeah, she's dumb as fuck. I'm just asking if they're like, is she?
I know,
just,
I guess I can't, you know, like we see plenty of things around the world where just like discrimination is just like sowed into generations without you even realizing it. And like you can't get rid of that. But
she knows the history. She also like, you guys, we gave you this land and you guys forsook us, you know, and now I just need to get off this. But she is asking them for help.
But
you know?
Is that explained in the show?
She does say that as they're walking up.
Does she? I don't remember that.
She does. We were talking while that was happening. She kind of like explains that there's like history here. And, you know, we used to have a nice alliance between the elves and man. And then they, you know, the Numenorians, men.
Right. I do. Yeah.
Again, though, it's quick. And, you know, these are the first time we're being introduced to these people. And I liked what you said, though. We have yet to see like happy or just like
no
life's
one's
pretty
happy
good
anywhere,
and like Sauron is the one who makes people unhappy, and he's not active right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like this is what I'm talking about, is like this is supposed to be like the prosperous, like it's called the Watchful Peace, where it's supposed to be this time in no, Watchful Peace is after the White Council, but after he's expended from the dungeon, I think so. I don't know. It's so confusing. No, it's just a lot. But it's just like they're supposed to be like prospering and music and parties and just like, you know, it's supposed to be like the elves from The Hobbit, where they're just getting tanked every night, so much so that you know 13 prisoners can escape from under their noses because they're that drunk. And as we know, it takes a lot for an elf to get drunk. So these guys are just like binge drinking like frat boys every night. Just like puke and rally.
Way, that's been the best way it's explained to me because I just don't understand. I never understood how, like, in one book, Legolas is like, I can't feel my fingers, you know, or whatever. And these guys are lights out.
Maybe elvish wine Hobbit. Is different. Maybe.
Well, no, like- it's actually, it's Lake Town's wine. That's how they get back in the barrels because they send the barrels back to Lake Town.
Oh, that's right. You're right. So yeah.
Lake Town's go like either Lake, poisoning them or
Lake Town's on that depression binge right now, so it makes sense. They're drinking Everclear over there. That's not wine.
You know it's not.
But the thing is, like, the people of Lake Town take shots, and then the elves are just pouring goblets of it and be like, gong, 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 gong. So
explain. It makes so much more sense to me. But yes, so like the reason you put like you brought this up, and I can agree with you is like. Then we meet the Numenoreans and they're low down dirty fucks and they like just rabble rouse with.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, this outsider, you like this elf. It's like, oh my God. Like, I understand to a certain extent because, you know, maybe you're hinting at that wherever Halbrand goes, like this like edginess and like darkness follows him and like puts people on edge or something, but they don't follow through with that. Like, if it was something of like, oh, as soon as he leaves the bar, everyone becomes cheery again or something like that. You know, you have a guy kind of do the head shake and be like, oh, what was up with that guy? Or something like that. Something to hint that this guy is the embodiment of pure evilness and like treachery and seduction. And like so much so that, okay, like these guys, or you take the route of, oh, these guys are really mad at him, but he's so good. He gets them to buy drinks for him and oh, he changes their mind and then, oh, it's party. But then like you end with him getting beat up in an alley or something.
Well, he did like, steal something from them. Like,
but it was like, did he, Sauron is, he's Sauron. Sauron isn't that stupid that he thinks he can just penny pinch a literal like ID badge. Like it's Mission Impossible. And oh, you said you needed this, seal of approval that probably takes years of apprenticeship and citizenship. Well, I've got one. Oh, I'm sure that was going to work, Sauron. Great plan.
You're reminding me that I brought this up on the first watch through because it's so fucking dumb when you think about it for too long.
It's so dumb.
He talked to that guy that day and he's going to go like walk up to him tonight and go like, hey, so now like,
Yeah.
Well, and so I wonder, because let's not forget, Aragorn, Numenorean, this amazing line of men, mostly because of like, they're like half elf from a free, yeah. You know, like the Baron and Luthien offspring, essentially. Do the rest of the Numenoreans suck so that we can see how good Elendil is in the face of that? And then just get a sense for that future line sense of right and wrong? Like,
but I need the Numenoreans.
Or is that giving them too much credit?
It's giving them too much credit because, like, Isildur's, you know, going through, you know, his teenage angst, it seems like. I don't know. I understand you need to make these characters relatable, but they can still be better. Aragorn was relatable in a certain way of, like, something you can aspire to be while still having plenty of faults and still having self-doubt and regret right. and right. unsurety of yourself. Like, there's still plenty of that in Aragorn, but these are just normal people, and they're not supposed to be. Yeah. Like, I'm fine with, like, the Southlands is for the normal people.
Right.
Those are normal men, and that's fine because you have, you know, like, guys like Theo, the kid. He's going to rise to greater heights, I hope so. And, you know, Bronwyn is, like, doing, like, her best as, like, a
the
normal
most,
human. Yeah.
For sure.
But,
you know, so exactly to that point, then. If it wasn't for Alex when we watched it the first time and him pointing out Sauron Halbrand just dispatched 5 Numenorean dudes, that's no small feat. But I didn't get that until Alex said it because I have no idea anything about the Numenoreans coming into this.
Yeah.
If you're just the average, like me, Lord of the Rings person, like, well, what does that mean though? Because I'm not getting
and they
like.
They never display that. They never
have,
like,
They never fully explain it. Like, they, yeah. You know what I mean? That these are literal different They built different people.
Yeah.
You know, their Skibbity Riz Man is on the Ohio's Cringe. My God. And it's like, they're like really close to flushing it all down the bidet.
What? Are you glazing over there?
Watch me glaze. Watch me glaze.
Oh. I'd rather not. But no, like, there needed to be a few moments in this show where, like, just simple, stupid stuff of, like, one guy's lifting a big rock, you know, while they're sailing, you know, like, have Isildur, you know, single-handedly catch a guy that was going to fall overboard or something like that.
Not just, like, humans doing.
Yeah, not just, oh, I need 45 Numenoreans to sail one boat. It's like, no, like, there needs to be a smaller crew to show how capable they are.
Or, dude, like, that's really great point.
So it's just, like, little things to convey to, you know, the general public that these are not the Southlands. These guys are literally built different, and they didn't do anything to do that, and so that's why, like, yeah, you got me with the political intrigue guy for sure. I was definitely wrong about that.
Well, and that's not great. About wrong or right, like, it's not your fault, but, like,
I'm not saying that like as like a gotcha moment, but it's just like, okay, there is stuff like that. There was political dissent and like a little finger in there, that's great, but you have to show that the rest of the people are above that, like that's why it worked, because one guy was like, oh, a little shady. It's like, you know, that Ricky Gervais movie, like The Invention of Lying. It's like, oh, this has never happened before, so when I start lying, people don't think I'm lying, because lying, it wasn't invented. I forgot
about that movie.
I think it's come up on TikTok a few times. Like, randomly, TikTok will show me, like, two-minute clips of, like, random dad movies, and that's one of them. And it's like, oh, okay.
Completely forgot that movie exists.
Yeah. So it's there's so much that I like. The CGI Numenor looks great.
It's beautiful.
Some of the sets look really good as well. Elendil is great. I don't know how I feel about Isildur and his sister.
It's a weird choice. I think he'll grow on us. You know what struck me too with the reintroduction of him. Us coming to this rewatch and your observation of like Halbrand being like, I'm just so mad, I'm gonna go on my year roundabout. Yeah. You know, Isildur is like,
oh, he's gonna my go dad's backpack. Credit card.
I mean, I don't stay in hostels, but like my hotel's next to one. Isildur is like the poor version of that. Like he wants to shirk his responsibilities too.
So what was your read on Isildur? Because like he's like staring off into the ocean. Like, is it he wants to explore the world and not be a sailor?
He doesn't want to be a sailor. It's hard to say. Either his mother's calling to him, or he's being called to go to the west where his brother has gone. His brother goes into the west. I don't remember much more beyond that, but that's something that's like the land is calling to him. He's being called to do more.
Got it. Okay. Cause like that, like
it's
that
really unclear though.
It's really unclear. And like the dinner scene where his sister gets into college. It's like, what am I?
She doesn't. Yes. That's exactly right.
It's like, I understand you need to, like, establish, like, a foothold in Numenor, because this is, like, the new storyline that's going to take place. You know, we keep, like, even when they go to Middle-earth, we flashback to the bearded guy and the daughter, and the daughter's love interest, apparently. Like, that's his son, right? The bearded guy's son, it ends up being.
It is his son, that's correct. Yeah. And they're, they're elf haters together.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, no, it's not my elf. Yeah.
But it's just like there are some hits in the Numenor stuff, and there's some big misses, at least for me, because you have like the entire, if you've only seen the movies, the entire trilogy is about the fact that Aragorn simply has the blood of Numenor in him, makes him a God among men.
A better person. Just a better person.
Just a better... He is 87, and he is still fighting with the best of them. Like, it is wild, and it's so established, even not in the extended cut, it's so well established, and it's not established here. I was so, like, I remember watching this and being just, like, sorely disappointed of, like, all right, again, like, everyone's just a dude. Like, what? That's the thing, is that Peter Jackson knew where to place lighting, just lighting and costuming of just, like, this person's better than everybody.
It just tells the story. That's all. Yeah. Like, he lets, that's where the fine line of, like, don't show us, let us know it. Like,
yeah. Show, and don't tell. It's just there's this. Okay. From this thing, I know who this person is. Like, yeah. you don't need to have, you know, Galadriel, like, quietly saying under her breath, like, the entire history of Numenor and the elves.
Because you're also not going to retain that. No one's going to retain that.
I didn't retain it. We watched it yesterday.
Clearly. So, then Lendiel starts, you know, doing a meet cute with Galadriel. She holds up a knife to him, doesn't she? She's like kill him.
She's about to kill him.
And then they go to the towers. They find the seal that makes her think that Halbrand is the king. She finds him in jail.
The seal looks exactly like Mordor.
It's a different seal. They find that information too.
Okay. Yeah.
They don't know. So she realizes the mark that was carved into her brother for no good fucking reason, by the way. Like, why are we carving this into your brother 1,000 years ago? You know? Because it's supposed to be like, hey, everybody, go to Mordor. She doesn't realize it's a map. It's not a mark of the evil one. It's a map.
Hey, you know, real estate 1,000 years ago was so cheap. Sauron invested early. Sauron's a boomer. He's a boomer. Like, oh, why don't you kids buy a mountain range with a bunch of land? In my day, it was 3 gold shekels. What's it now? Oh, 50 million? Ah, sounds like you just need to go up with a firm handshake and ask, I want an evil land surrounded by a volcano.
No more avocado toast for you.
You're getting Starbucks every day. That's why you can't do it.
You're charging it on your card. You didn't learn any better. You could just walk to the Southlands. It's just dumb anyway. She figures it out like a dummy that it's actually a fucking map. And that he has this, there is a line that is denoted by, there are two different things she learns. It's also that god-awful tapestry is something else.
It is wild that in 2019 we have Rise of Skywalker, where Rey holds up a dagger to the Death Star and it's like, oh, this is what it means because it matches. Even though if you take 10 steps to the left and hold the dagger up, it's not going to match. Or, you know, if, like, the wreckage is from the Death Star that fell from space.
Oh, I forgot. This was the opening of it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The third movie. Oh,
and,
my God.
And so that's what this feels like, is, like, 3 years later, they're like, oh, this marking that was marked 1,000 years ago, you know, erosion doesn't happen. There's no tectonic plates in Middle Earth, like... There's nothing that changes a landscape in 1,000 years. But no, it's the Southlands. Don't worry about it.
Yep. No, don't worry about it, guys. You got it.
Yeah.
All right. So then, we realized that Nori's dad over at the Harfoots was putting up, like, the maypole. That's what he broke his ankle for, was like for like the end of harvest season or the end of them living out this season in this particular part of the
migration party. Yeah,
correct. They're about to fuck.
I may pull my eyes out anytime I see the Harfoots.
Clip it. So at this point, Nori's got the idea to pull out the map from Cleghorn's book, whatever that guy's name is. And
Foghorn Leghorn, yeah.
You heard me. And like, there's the kind of funny sequence where Poppy's like, you have a little bit left. No, yeah. Are you right? It's kind of cute.
Why she can't just like wait under the table and then do it right after he leaves?
Because he takes the book with him.
But it's not in the book. She's already taken the page out. It's no. She's taken the page out of it already.
No, it's not yet. She's trying to get it out of the page, out of the book.
The book's closed, though.
Yeah, and she started looking at it, and she closed the book right away because he was coming, and that like part of the leaflet was out, but not all the way out. She had to like just put. It's dumb. It's a forced issue. That yeah. Stop making me explain their poor choices, please. Excuse me. So they finally get it. She hands it over to the stranger, and he burns the fucking thing up.
Yep.
And finally reveals himself to the Harfoots, this giant.
And in a comedy of errors. I'm like, whoa!
whoa! Yeah, and they're like, what is that? And it's a dude. And, you know, before they reveal him or he burns the thing up, the Harfoots are doing the we wait for you ceremony. We wait
for you. That it just...
It's incongruent. Here's my argument.
It's unexcusable.
So, okay, the only maybe, like, people that they should feel bad for having died are Poppy's family. Because, yeah. And it's sad. It's sad. Like, you realize, okay, Poppy's actually alone. She had, like, 3 siblings, and both her parents washed away in a landslide. What the fuck was Poppy doing? Question A. And question B, like, not question B, just B.
Because you know they didn't try and save him. You know, like, they didn't, like, oh,
but they're in a landslide. Like, something's wrong. Something happened quickly, and they got fucked. So, yeah, we do wait for you because nature happened. The other ones, you can kind of insinuate that they leave them behind.
They do. There's no insinuation. Like, because so they...
This is my argument. If that's true, why say we wait for you when they fucking didn't?
Do you know because, what I mean? Because the Harfoots suck. There's no... like... They act, there needed to be like, oh, winter's coming, or there needed to be a reason. I understand that they're nomads.
And they migrate.
They migrate, but there needs to be like a reason that we cannot wait. We have to get, you know, across the country to when the berries bloom. Otherwise, yes. The deer are going to get them or something. Or like they hint at the wolves that like are 20 feet away but can't smell them. They're like, oh, no. The spring is coming, so the wolves are out. We have to go. And they don't ever do that. They don't ever give like the sense of urgency to why they need to migrate right now to where they can't give, you know, Nori's dad a week to heal. But even then, like, he walks after the chief when like they discover the stranger and he's like, oh, we're not gonna banish you, we're not gonna leave you behind, even though his wife is just like, oh yeah, they're done. They're decaravaned or whatever it's called. Like,
which that's it too. Like, you know what? Decaravan them. Because why are we making special concessions for Nori out of thousands of years of traditions?
Because she's the main character.
I know, but that's dumb too. Like, there's no stakes now.
Yeah. And then him, it's so funny because like they're like, oh, we're going to be in the back. And then they show him obviously struggling. But then, like, they have him, like, holding, like, his lower back, like, oh, man, this caravan. It's like, you just showed a whole episode of him breaking his ankle and his back is the problem? Like, you're so inconsistent.
He wouldn't even be able to walk, bro. He wouldn't even be able to walk. Not on that. Like, so have him hobbling to the side. But then this is where
I'm throwing Nori over the riverbank. Like,
so, like, you're telling me she's the protag and her dad can't walk and she throws a 7,000 pound, 25 foot giant in their cart? She's trying to smuggle?
As I said in the watch along, she throws Shaq into their cart. That's not like he is like 7-something feet tall. Like he is like, it's not like
he's a big dude.
He's not a big person. He's not one of the big folk. He is a literal giant. Like, he is taller than most things in this world. And instead of, like, being like, oh, you just have to sneak behind us or whatever, or walk, you know.
Or put one of those reeds on your back and look like a fucking shoot in the grass that we're walking through.
Oh, my
Oh, how funny would that be if we see him carrying?
That's
like,
all
the
you needed. That's all you needed. Was that's a way better move than that? Than they. She literally puts him in the cart, and they're already falling behind. Like they're gonna die, and you didn't think to be like, "Hey, you're injured." I think it's like a big like moment in this next episode. They're like, "Oh, he can push the cart. We're gonna make it." It's like. No shit, Sherlock.
We've already not decaravanned you for showing this stranger our people. Use him, bitch.
Right? Like, I don't understand it. You're supposed to be like the fun, adventurous, smart type. Like, this is such a layup. This yeah. is such a layup of a thing, and you waste an entire episode. This, like, cut this part of the episode where it's just like, oh, like, you. Oh, we're going to be in the back. And then you have them like passing up other caravans because the giant's like just fucking huffing like he's like a backpacker.
Genius. And, like, it's
easiest like just alley-oop. You got Shaq. Well, there's Kobe dunking it right there. It's just like it's right there.
That's
it's right
brilliant.
There to do it to like get Nori back on like the good side of like and then you have, you know, the chief Harfoot like giving like a little chuckle, and then you have like his wife like scowling. It's like, that's a dunk. That's the easiest dunk right there of like, oh, you got the old hag just dunked right in her face because she said more than once that we should leave Nori's family for dead. And you have like, oh, you know, the chief knew that this was going to happen. He knew that like this giant would come into play. And then I think, you know, in the next episode or two is like when he saves them from the wolves, but then like he does like in an evil way. So like, whoa, like we got to watch this guy. And then you right. put the doubt back in the other Harfoots because they're scared little Harfoots. It's so easy. It's just like, I just did like, ugh.
It's when you try too hard to be, when you're trying to be something rather than let it be, it's the same concept as like, show us, don't, you know it, don't show it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, let it be funny. Let them be the comic relief. Do that, you know? Because you're totally right. Ultimately, there's not a lot of redemptive qualities about Nori right now, and there should be. There really should be.
Yeah, and like, you can have Nori, like, sitting on his shoulders with, like, the reed. So, like, it still looks like he's camouflaged. Like,
hilarious.
Hilarious. And you just have her, like, just, like, waving as they pass by everybody. Or, like, you know, give, like, the little shrug or something. Like, I don't know.
This and the dad's in the back of the caravan in the fucking wheelbarrow yeah. smoking a stove.
Yeah, he's like, got his leg up and he's just yeah. like, "We." And he'll, you know what he says? "We wait for you." Boom!
"We'll wait for you when we get
yeah,
to where
we're
going."
Yeah, when we get there a day early, because we got fucking Yao Ming carrying our shit for us. Like, it's so easy. Like,
it's so good. Do you know and how much I liked basketball but wasn't good at it? All I could do was D. And, like, anytime someone threw the ball to me, I just go, like, shoot it frantically. Really not good.
Hey, there's plenty of people that made it to the league not being able to shoot and could only play defense.
Totally. Listen, I knew to watch the hips and not where the ball was going. You know, you got to watch the body. Like, it's yeah. all that. I only had that going for me, though. All right, so we did the Harfoots. We did most of the Numenorean Galadriel shit. What else happened in this episode? Do we even remember?
The best part of the episode is all the Arondir stuff with...
I've been saving it for the last,
it's,
I guess.
It's the best part. It's the best part because even though... Okay, so the town gets sucked under by an underground tunnel. Arondir gets captured in an underground tunnel, but suddenly... The tunnel isn't underground anymore. It's just like
cresting upward, it seems like.
I guess, but why are they digging this tunnel if it's not underground?
Yeah, like, why is there this thingy? They keep on saying too, like, "No, you got sun duty today." And like, it's not even like sub, like, there's not like a foot underneath them, right? They're just.
No, like, they're just above ground with like a basically a sheer tent blocking like direct sunlight.
You're totally right.
And that's what confused me, is that like this obviously is supposed to be a sneak attack to wherever they're going. And there you can the land, like, you know, when they try to escape, you can see the land around them is burnt to a crisp and ash and everything. Like, there's nothing. I don't know if they're done with the stealth part of it, but I don't. Are they building? Are they no longer building a tunnel? Are they building the ditch for the water to flow to the mountain? Is that what they're doing? I can't remember.
That's why they've been tunneling underground. The whole thing has been.
That's what I thought.
To get the water, which is. Honestly, when that happened and that was the reveal, and I'm looking forward to that.
Can't wait for that episode.
It's really clever. It's clever because it serves two purposes. Ultimately, if the orcs just wanted to get to the Southland, they would just travel at night. They don't need to tunnel all day long. Do you know what I mean? That would be like totally adding weeks to their trip that they wouldn't need. But I think maybe. If we suspend disbelief a little bit here, perhaps they're at the point now where they need their tunnel to start cresting upward. That's why we're here. That's the only part I can understand part of their green, not their green, their blueprints. That's the only thing I can think of.
Their green prints.
Well, I don't know.
No, I just like, because they're orcs, they're green prints.
Yeah, that's their color, that's their theme. I can't otherwise understand why they did that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and then, like, we're gonna get to the good stuff, but just, like, when they ask, you know, them to cut down the tree, it's like, just, you're already under it, just dig under the tree. Because, like, he chops it down, we see it later, it's just a stump, and it's like, that's still in the way of you digging your tunnel. Like...
it 100... Yeah, we also were talking about, like... The best way to get rid of that tree, now that the roots are pretty darn well exposed, by the way. There's, like, hardly any... Someone, like, got in there and didn't
even, like, half. It's, like, half exposed, yeah. Yeah, it's, like, all, just like, pull the dusted.
Tree down. Yeah, it really is. Just pull the tree down.
Yeah.
Don't cut it. Like, at this point, the tree shouldn't even be there. Like, you have better leverage pulling the tree down. Granted, we wouldn't get the beautiful moment with a Rondir... You know, praying to
You can do that, like, when he's, like, tying the rope around the tree or something. Like, you can have him, like, you know, put his hand up to it. Like, so, but yeah. But it is, the jailbreak scene is great. The throat cutting of the elf, it's, like, I understand that they needed to make it quick. But they should have, like, stabbed him in the gut or something like that. That way you can just, like, have his hands over his belly. And, like, have, like, the cloth kind of darken. That way it doesn't need to be bloody. I don't need to see, like, intestines pouring out or anything like that. Like, I don't need to see Verhoeven.
Sure.
But just, like, it looks like a shaving cut.
It's not deep enough, especially to kill an elf.
And that's the thing is, like, it needs to be deep because it's a throat cut. But I understand that, like, this isn't a bloody show. I'm totally okay with that. I don't need to see Game of Thrones gore in this. I don't need to see the Red Wedding in this moment.
Ugh.
But just, like, it needs to look like a fatal wound, and it just doesn't. Like, there's a moment even, like, the MCU does it in, like, Black Panther, where Michael B. Jordan, like, has one of the Dora Milaje, like, knife to throw, and, like, she's like, oh, Wakanda forever, and he does it, and they do, like, the slow motion fall, and it's like, her neck is completely fine. It's like, don't do a throat cut if you're not even gonna put makeup or a fake wound on it, and this is kind of in the same vein. Just have a different fatal injury. There's plenty of fatal injuries you can do that are, like, quick and, you know, shock. It's a great moment of, like, you think the water's poisoned, they each drink it, and then, like, you know something's coming. You don't know what it is, but it's a really good moment, and then the jailbreak itself is great until we get the warg.
Well, so I wanted to say what I liked about the throat slit that was insidious was that's how thin... the knife was that got him and how quick and clean the cut was that it did take a second to bleed, right? But then we needed to see more blood. We needed to see how deep that was. Like,
could or it have poison. Been... There, it's an orc dagger. So just, like, have, like, you know, the black, you know, veins coming from the wound or something like that.
That would actually kill an elf. Anyway, I was sad when that happened because I liked that actor. But you're right. Like, something had to happen and they built the tension just right.
Yeah.
But yes.
Very well done.
Yes, then we get their attempt to, they finally, like, organize their attempt to escape. And the head elf that we met in the first episode's like, even if one of us gets out, you know, we can warn everyone else what's coming. So we're aware that, like, the majority of the elves aren't going to make it out of this alive. But They created a version. They whipped the chain at one of the guys, right? Or something. It's
good stuff.
Sick. And then they start hammering away. This is actually a pretty good piece of detail. They rested like a one of the daggers from the orcs and then used that underneath their crisscross of chains to then break the chains.
Yeah.
So, because if you were just doing it on the ground, you wouldn't have any give. So I just thought that was a really clever, you know.
Yeah, good detail.
Totally. And then, yeah, like Arondir takes down a couple of bros. They're fighting and then out comes the porg.
Like the chihuahua-worg.
The chihuahua.
Like, I understand. I don't need the same design as the Peter Jackson trilogies. I don't need cracked out chihuahua Taco Bell worg. Like the bearing of the teeth, like the fidgeting it's doing, like it was a very strange design. And so when it just like murks two elves immediately, I'm just like, oh, I guess it is dangerous, but it doesn't look dangerous.
It looks like what a dog must have looked like when it would look like if you mixed a pug and a wolf together and it's gut problem. It's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like, okay, some parts didn't mash up well and it's not going well for this. I will say this though, like they were on the right path by like making it a female, clearly a female warg. Like that was disturbing too.
Yeah.
Like, but there wasn't something like going, like it was like Pinky in the Brain and we got the Pinky warg or something like that.
Yeah, it really looked like a science experiment that was about to fall apart like at any moment, like a Cronenberg type thing that was like, yeah. Oh, it's literally like melting in front of our eyes, but until it like self-destructs, it's going to kill other things.
It's like the dog from The Thing, for sure. Yeah, it's 100% that. Then I guess like he traps it with I don't remember what happened exactly.
I think he does it like in the tree stump. Like,
yeah. And then it's dead or something. I guess he killed it. I don't know.
No, it's still alive.
Perhaps. No, I don't remember.
I don't know. Maybe he does kill it. Oh, yeah. He as it's going after the older elf, like Arondir throws the sword at it. And like that's like what springs him. And then he's about to get out. And then.
Well, before that happens, this is what I love. Like, finally, one of the orcs, like, takes the chain to, like, whip a Arondir back. Arondir grabs that one piece of twig and, like, gets it, jabs it into the throat of the guy.
Good moment.
There's some sick Arondir stuff. Like, they just really, they really got the perfect timing down of not too slow-mo, but enough seeing, like, frame for frame what he's doing. And they're just using that man's beautiful body perfectly. And they then. That, I think, affords the lead elf to break free, run out, and then just get Boromir'd. Like they didn't look outside above the...
Yeah, Arondir was above the pit cutting that tree down, and he didn't see any scouts or anything like that.
Like, they didn't go, oh, by the way, go left. Don't go that way, you know? Because as Arondir's about to follow suit and run out after... lead elf dude turns around and there's one big orc arrow in his chest.
Yep.
Dumb. They pull him back, and then finally we get like the blurry shot of Adar and we think it's Sauron, and it sort of works. I'm sad we didn't get to see Adar, but the build up to who is Adar does work for me in this episode.
It does. Like, you know, like we were looking through quotes and it's like, oh, I'll do this for Adar, but not for you. And just like, oh, take him to Adar and everything is for Adar. And so we just like, we hear this name every time we're around Arondir this whole
with,
episode.
With like reverence and like.
Yeah.
You
like
know,
they are like, bowing to him when he starts approaching.
Yeah.
And Ulrich, one of our patrons who we did the watch along, was like, that shot of his gauntlet with the fingers, it looks exactly like the shot in, you know, in Lord of the Rings when we see Sauron come out to the battle, when they show the close-up of the ring. Those are the same spiky fingers that he's got. So it's a great mislead. It really is a great mislead, and I'm really excited for this next episode because this conversation between him and Arondir is great. This actor's just so good. He takes over the show with every scene that he's in, so it's a real shame we're not getting him back.
Yeah.
And like, we'll say that 1,000 times over the next 5 episodes.
I really think it's like got to be challenging for the actor that's taking over that role too. Like, is he just going to do, you know, a version of that guy, or is he going to try and make the character his own? You know,
I feel like that's a challenge. It's a real thankless job, because either you're going to love it and, but you're still going to compare it, or you're going to hate it and you're going to miss the other guy. So it's just,
yeah,
like,
totally. Well, yeah, I do not envy him his position. No. So we want to know if you guys think we're so off base, or now that you're rewatching it along with us, what's something you noticed that we forgot to mention, or like, oh God, this just didn't age well, or this actually got better, or if you think the Stranger storyline actually is good, then unfollow us. You can unfollow us on Instagram and podcast Twitter. You can find those handles in the liner notes. You can also support us if you'd like, going to patreon.com/podcastoftherings. For as little as $2, you can join us on this watch along. And we have so many fun things coming up with Patreon as we grow. So help us get to, you know, 10 patron subscribers, 10, 15. We're going to do the, you know, script read. We're going to watch Lord of the G-Strings. So help us make this a fun community you want to be a part of.
I really enjoy the watch-alongs. The watch-alongs are a lot of fun. So honestly, if you guys, we've been doing them every Monday for the last 2 Mondays, and I really enjoyed them. Like, it's a great way to watch the show. Like, we're not talking the whole time, so don't worry about that. We're not like, you know, a YouTube react show. We're just watching. Sure. We're commenting fun stuff. We're commenting real stuff. Like, it's a good time. It's a good way to like rewatch these episodes and like see new things in the moment that we talked about here
with our friends. Yeah, with maybe things we might not have caught otherwise. Yeah. On watch alongs with ourselves. So yeah, I think that about does it. Ben, thanks as always for making this the best part of my day, and thanks for you, listener out there. Also, don't forget to give us 5-star reviews wherever you listen to this podcast, because that also goes a long way.
That's free.
It is free. We would take that, though. We want to know what you think. And until next time, my friends.
May our paths meet again.